All right, turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I would like to take the title for this message from the last verse, the very last verse in the psalm, verse 11. It begins by saying, "Be glad in the Lord." That's the title of the message. Be glad in the Lord. This psalm is a beautiful prayer to God. And it's a beautiful answer from God. That's what's happening here. David is praying to God, and God gives an answer to David's prayer. This is a prayer that can be prayed by every child of God, every single child of God. And he can pray this, or she can pray this, from the absolute depths of his or her soul. This is a wonderful psalm. If you've never really entered into this psalm, this is a wonderful psalm. And it begins with this truth right here. If you look at Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed. Blessed. So blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, people are always talking about being blessed. Always. Always. They'll say things like, "Oh, I've been so blessed with good health. We've been so blessed with good health." Or they'll say, "I've been so blessed with a good job. Boy, the Lord has blessed me with a good job. And I've been so blessed with a good home life. Just so thankful for that. I've been blessed with a good wife and blessed with good kids and blessed with good friends and blessed with good material things and blessed with good inner feelings, blessed with a good outlook on life." A very common way of saying goodbye now. A lot of people do this. A very common way of saying goodbye is, "Have a blessed day." Meaning, have a prosperous day, is what they're saying. And although I want all those things for people, I honestly do. I honestly do. Although I truly do want all of those things for people, none of those things are the great blessing from God. None of those things. Although he is the giver of all those things. And although they are blessings when he gives them, they are. None of those things are the great blessing of God Almighty to his people. None of those things. None of those things. That great blessing, the true blessing, the blessing from God of eternal significance, is, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Transgressions are what we do. Sin is what we are. Transgressions, that's what we do. Sin is what we are. We do what we do because we are what we are. Going out into the world and sinning is not what makes a sinner a sinner. A sinner goes out into the world and sins because he is a sinner. Starts in here and eventually works its way out. But we commit transgressions because in the flesh, sin is all that we are. That's why we commit transgressions. It's because sin is all that we are. And in our flesh, because we are what we are and do what we do, in our flesh, we are naturally, by nature, cursed. We're cursed people. We are cursed. That's what every man and woman in the flesh, outside of Christ, is. Cursed. Come into this world, cursed. The Lord told Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. That's how cursed. Man says blessed, and man thinks blessed, but that's not his natural condition. Not blessed, cursed. Because of everything that we brought on ourselves, everything, we're condemned. We're exposed. We are convicted. And had God just left us alone, if that's all he had done, it just left us alone, we would have died in our cursed condition, and we would have spent an eternity bearing a condemnation that we could never fulfill. Never. It would have lasted forever. There's no end to it for a sinner because he cannot fulfill it. He cannot ever say, it is done. Finally, it is finished. Condemnation over. Fulfilled. Never can a sinner say that in his own sins. That is why. That's why for a sinful soul before God, one thing truly constitutes as the great blessing from God. One thing. One thing is needful. Just one thing. The forgiving, atoning blood of the Lamb of God. That one thing. The blood of the Lamb of God. For God so loved, He gave. Because He loved, He gave. He gave the great blessing to man. Sinners that he chose to save. To all of his people, he gave his only begotten Son. I wish we could enter into that like we ought to enter into that. He gave because God loved sinful man. He gave to sinful man, for sinful man, his only begotten Son. Christ Jesus our Lord came and took all the transgressions. See if this is a blessing to your heart. You know what you are. You know what you've done. All you got to do is just go back into your life a few years or maybe a few moments and just think about what you've done. God knows. God sees it. That's the whole reason He sent Christ. And Christ came and took all of your transgressions, all of the transgressions, and all of the sin, what we've done and what we are. He took it from all of His people, and He laid all of it on Himself, all of it. And He made Himself to be cursed for His people. He made Himself to be exposed for His people and convicted for His people and condemned for His people. And He died in our cursed condition. He died in our cursed condition. He bore the fullness of God's judgment. He fulfilled the fullness of God's punishment and God's wrath, And he put away every sin, every transgression, every spot of iniquity, every spot, every blemish. He put it all away forever. Now I'll tell you, that's a blessed man. That's a blessed woman right there. That truly is. I want all of us to have happy days rather than sad days. I honestly do. This is me to you right now. I truly do want all of us. I would rather us have happy days rather than sad days. I would rather us have more money rather than less money. I really would. I'd rather us have good home lives rather than bad home lives. But what difference do those things make, really? What difference do those things make as long as an eternity with Christ is forever settled in heaven? If that is secure, if that is bought and paid for and signed and sealed and secure, we're a blessed people. In that one thing, in the blood of Christ, we're an eternally blessed people. Oh, so blessed. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Forgiven, covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth." That word imputeth means acknowledges the condition to be. The word does not mean charge to or apply to, give to. That's not what it means. It means that he assesses the condition and acknowledges this is the way it is. After assessing everything about it, this is the current condition. Verse 2, he said, "Not iniquity." Not iniquity. After assessing, verse 2 says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth." Looks at, assesses, and after he sees what he sees, this is what he says. "Not iniquity." I don't see iniquity. Iniquity's not there. "And in whose spirit there is no guile." There's no guile there. Nothing wrong there. No transgression there at all. I love this verse of Scripture right here. I truly do. I remember the first time I saw this, someone pointed it out to me, had me turn over there and read it to me. It blessed my heart then. It blesses my heart every time I see it. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Look with me at verse 20. Jeremiah 50, verse 20. It says, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve." Talking about his elect. "I'll pardon the ones that I chose to redeem. I will pardon all of their sins." Their sins will be put away forever, never to be found again. Never to be found again. Go with me back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now David says in verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." You know, every word in this book is the word of God, the words of Christ. And these psalms are pictures of our Lord. We can hear the voice of our Lord right there as he was suffering in the stead of his people. We hear his suffering from the cross and the agony that he endured. But the voice of David also represents every child of God who cries, "Lord, I cannot not confess unto you. I cannot not confess unto you what I am. I cannot keep that to myself. I can't hide anything from you. I don't want to hide anything from you. It eats at me. It weighs heavy on me. You know everything about me. You see me for what I am." That's what David said over in Psalm 139. Turn with me over there. Psalm 139, I love this psalm too. He said in verse 1, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." You know what I'm thinking before I even think it. You know what's going to come into my mind. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Doesn't matter. There's no hiding. So he said down in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is that not our cry? Lord, we have nothing to hide from you. Nothing. Never would we want to hide anything within us from you. We don't, do we? Lord, we want you to search all of our sin and redeem us from every last speck of it. Lord, redeem us from all of our transgressions. Don't let one of them go unpaid. How awful would that be if one went unpaid? Lord, don't leave one spot on me before God. Purge every last stain. Search me, know me inside and out. Purge me from all my sin. Is that not our cry? Go with me back to Psalm 32. Verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That right there is worthy of a Selah. David put a Selah right there. That is worthy of a pause. That is worthy to take a moment to just dwell on it. Just let that sink in. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He said, I didn't do anything to redeem myself. I didn't bring anything of any value or any worth to you. I didn't earn anything. I didn't deserve anything. I just confessed what I was. That's all I did. And I said, whatever you choose to do with me is good and right. You're justified in whatever you're pleased to do with me. David said, and lo and behold. That's a great phrase. Lo and behold. To the praise of the glory of your grace, David said, this is what you were pleased to do. Of your own will and your own purpose, this is what you chose to do. He said, you forgave me of all my sin. I just acknowledged all of it to you. And you forgave me of all my sin. Amazing. Amazing. David said, Selah. What can you say about that? Verse 6, he said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. If you are a sinner in need of mercy, if you are a sinner in need of a Savior, this is what the Word of God commands of us and tells us to do, and I strongly urge all of us to do this. If you are a sinner in need of a Savior, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, his own works, his own will, his own path, his own plan, his own desire. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And let him turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He'll abundantly have mercy and pardon in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. The temporary floods of this world. We've talked a lot recently about how the billows of this world, they just keep crashing over us like waves of the sea. And the temporary floods of this world may come and will come. But the eternal floods of damnation, eternal damnation, they will never come near to a soul that Christ has redeemed from his sin. Never. Verse 7 says, thou art my hiding place. Love that. Don't we love the song? Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. We hide in Him, don't we? Verse 7 says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That's what we're going to sing throughout all eternity. That's our song right now, and it always will be. The songs of deliverance. This is our song. Our message is our song. Songs of deliverance. Songs of glory and honor to Christ our King. All right, now that was David's prayer to God. In this psalm, in this first portion, that was David's prayer to God. This is God's answer to David. Verse 8, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, I will, and you shall. That's the greatest thing that a sinner could ever hear from the Lord. That truly is. Verse 8, he said, I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way. In my word, through the preaching of my word, I'll teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Which way should a child of God go? You ever wonder that? Which way should I go? Which way should a child of God go? Whichever way Christ goes, whichever way His word goes, we follow Him through His word. We follow Him. And He said in verse 8, I will guide you with my eye. I'll guide you with my all-seeing eye. Verse 9 says, Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. He said, Don't resist, come willingly. You come to me, follow me, and do it willingly. And all of God's people do. All of His people, He makes them willing in the day of His power. Verse 10 says, Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Mercy through the gift of Christ. Forgiveness through His blood. So verse 11, he said, Be glad in the Lord. That's our message. Be glad in the Lord. Even if life on this earth doesn't reflect what most people consider to be blessed. Even as you look around and you see your life and what you have and what you're going through, even if it does not reflect what the average person would consider to be blessed. Even if when you look around, you don't see much at all in this world that you can be glad in. A blessed, sin forgiven, iniquity covered child of God can always be glad in the Lord, even when there's nothing else out there. A child of God can be glad in the Lord who saved him and blessed him in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 11 says, Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's what God's people are. That's what God's people are. I've gone a little longer than I wanted to already, but I want to tell you this story. It's been a while since been a long time since I've told this story. But we were down in Mexico, and we had breakfast one morning with Walter and Betty Groover. And Brother Walter was telling some stories about some wonderful things that he had seen throughout his life as a missionary down in Mexico. And he told of this one time, a long time ago, when he was traveling to meet a woman in a village that was far away. He had been there once before and preached, and she wanted him to come into her home and preach to her family. And so he agreed to do so. And he said it was a good distance, but he said the roads were terrible. And you could only drive about 15 to 30 miles an hour. It just took forever to get out and get anywhere. The roads were, they were just walking paths, really. And he said, he had a Jeep. He said the tires would be on both sides and you'd hit rocks and holes. And a lot of times there was nowhere to turn around. There's nowhere to pass. If you met another vehicle, he said one would have to back up until you could find a spot to get around each other. And so he said one day he was driving down this path headed to meet this woman and her family. And he came up on these two native men who were holding muzzleloader rifles. And he said there was nowhere to go, no way to get around, nowhere to turn around. So they didn't get out of the road. So he anxiously came up to them and stopped, and his windows were down. It was hot. He didn't have air conditioning. And they came to each side of his car. And this one here asked him, "Are you a missionary?" And not knowing if outsiders were being accepted, he very reluctantly almost said, "Yes, I am." And this man said to him, he said, "We just finished burying my 16-year-old daughter. She died." And he said, "We just finished burying her." And he said, "I am so sad." He said, "I know that there is a God," but he said, "I don't know who he is and I don't know where he is." He said, "Would you come into my house?" He said it was a hut. It was a grass hut with dirt floors. He said, "Will you come into my house and tell me who God is?" And Brother Walter said, "I can't. I'm so sorry. I have an appointment to meet a lady in another village. Her family's waiting on me." But he said, "I'll come back through at a certain time tomorrow and I'll stop at your house and I'll tell you who God is." So Brother Walter went on, and the next day when he came back, he pulled up to this grass hut and he said he could not hardly get in the front door. He said the hut was packed full of people. This man had gone into town and told everybody he could. He said, "There is a man who is coming tomorrow to tell us who God is. And," he said, "if you want to know who God is, you better get to my house." And all these people came. And he said, Brother Walter said, the Lord gave him such great liberty to preach the glory and the goodness of the Lord in the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, God saved that man. And he said, the man's name was Feliz. And in English, that means happy. The man's name was Happy. And he said, boy, he was. That man was so happy from that moment on, knowing who the true and living God is. Happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad in the world, but joyful in the Lord. And that's what we can be. That's exactly what we can be. We may be sad about everything else that's going on, but we can be glad in the Lord, and we can rejoice and shout for joy if God has caused us to be upright by His grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that God will make it to be so. I pray He will. All right, I will dismiss us with a word of prayer.